Lawsuits from a 2010 Palo Alto, California accident have been settled. The FAA seeks civil penalties against three California repair stations, and research shows simulator-based training works. This is Aero News for Wednesday, October 24, 2012. I'm Glenn Moyer. Three lawsuits filed as a result of a February 17, 2010 accident in Palo Alto, California have been settled. The accident resulted in the fatal injury of two employees of Tesla Motors. Terms of the settlements have not been released. The accident occurred when pilot Douglas Bourne departed Palo Alto Airport in a heavy fog at 0755 Pacific Standard Time, despite being told by ATC he was not cleared for takeoff because of the restricted visibility. He was told by the controller that he was departing at his own risk. A few minutes after takeoff, the plane, a Cessna 310R, struck power lines near an East Palo Alto neighborhood and went down among the houses about a half mile from the airport. There was a post-impact fire. Bourne, as well as passengers Brian Finn and Andrew Ingram, who were employed by Tesla Motors, were fatally injured in the accident. No one on the ground was hurt, though there was some property damage because of the fire. The Palo Alto News Online reports that Ingram's and Finn's families had filed the lawsuits against Air Unique, the company owned by Bourne, and the pilot's estate. They said that Bourne willingly undertook the flight in unsafe conditions. Now, with settlements in hand, the families have filed a request for case dismissals, which will be considered by a judge in January of 2013. The FAA is proposing civil penalties against three California aircraft repair stations, GKN Aerospace Chemtronics, Inc. of El Cajon, Cercor Aerospace, Inc. of Sylmar, and Woodward, Inc. in Santa Clarita. The allegations against all three companies involve primarily a failure to conduct required drug tests and receive verified negative results before hiring or transferring employees to perform safety-sensitive aircraft maintenance work. The proposed fine against GKN is $359,350. For Cercor Aerospace, the proposed fine is $205,250, while the fine proposed against Woodward is $246,450. All three companies have 30 days from the receipt of the FAA's enforcement letter to respond to the agency. After 1 year of turning students into private pilots for a flat fee of $9,500, Redbird Flight Simulations Skyport reports their experiment in simulator-based training is working. At its Migration Flight Training Conference this week, Redbird announced the school has graduated 20 private pilots, as well as completed 18 instrument ratings, one multi-engine rating, and one instrument instructor certificate. It took an average of 38 flight hours to complete the private pilot rating, which is less than two-thirds the national average. Skyport and Redbird have developed 46 training products that have come out of this process so far, with more on the way. Some are high-tech simulators, while others are low-tech study guides that reduce the typical cinder block-sized FAR-AIM study guides to a mere 28 pages, while greatly increasing student comprehension. Many of these products will be available to the public in the near future. The Air Force is now looking for its next search and rescue helicopter. The Office of the Assistant Secretary of the Air Force for Acquisition has posted the Combat Rescue Helicopter, or CRH, request for proposal to the Federal Business Opportunities website, signaling the official launch of this high-priority Air Force acquisition program. The RFP defines an integrated, capability-based, best-value approach. It also includes specific factors for assessing the capabilities and risks inherent in each offer and identifies four goal requirements: hover performance, combat radius, payload, and cabin space. The primary mission of the CRH air vehicle is to recover isolated personnel from hostile or denied territory. It will also execute humanitarian missions, civil search and rescue, disaster relief, casualty and medical evacuation, and non-combatant evacuation operations. The program will replace the Air Force's aging HH-60G Pave Hawk helicopter fleet. The CRH requirement is for 112 aircraft. When Aero News continues, India's Kingfisher Airlines may be a dead bird, a new crew is en route to the ISS, and just maybe, Dinah Shore was ahead of her time.
Diamond Aircraft's D-Jet is the ultimate private aircraft for the owner-flown market, offering simplicity of operation, safety, and affordability. Imagine starting the turbine with a simple push of a button. Push the single lever throttle forward. Monitor your flight on the cutting-edge G1000 with integrated autopilot and enjoy the reliability, performance, smoothness, and quiet of turbine power. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3222.
Aero News continues now for Wednesday, October the 24th. I'm Glenn Moyer. India's embattled Kingfisher Airlines may not be able to return to operations, according to that country's aviation chief. Ajit Singh, India's civil aviation minister, told New Delhi Television on Monday that getting the airline flying again would be, quote, very difficult, end quote. Aviation regulators in India suspended the flying license of the airline on Saturday. The airline has not flown since October the 1st, when employees walked off their jobs over unpaid salaries. The French news service AFP reports that the airline owes the government billions of dollars in taxes and airport fees and is far behind in compensation for employees, as many as 4,000 of whom have not been paid for as long as 7 months. The unpaid employees include pilots, flight attendants, ground crews, and support staff. In what was described as a desperate bid to return to operations, the airline reportedly put forth a plan to give employees at least 3 months' pay by the middle of November. The directors of the airline are reportedly looking for a foreign investor to buy the debt-ridden, cash-strapped airline, but analysts say that a rescue is unlikely at this point. NASA astronaut Kevin Ford and Russian cosmonauts Evgeny Tarelkin and Oleg Novitsky launched aboard a Russian Soyuz rocket on their mission to the International Space Station at 0651 Eastern Daylight Time on Tuesday. The trio lifted off from Site 31 at the Baikonur Cosmodrome in Kazakhstan. This is the first time in 28 years that the pad has been used for human spaceflight. Ford, Tarelkin, and Novitsky are expected to dock their Soyuz spacecraft with the ISS on Thursday. Novitsky is serving as the commander of the Soyuz and will be at the controls as the spacecraft docks with the station on Thursday. The three will join Expedition 33 commander Sunita Williams of NASA and flight engineers Akai Hoshida of Japan's Aerospace Exploration Agency and Yuri Malenchenko of the Russian Federal Space Agency, who've been living aboard the orbiting laboratory since July and are now scheduled to return to Earth on November the 19th. Meanwhile, NASA's Commercial Crew Program partner Blue Origin conducted a successful pad escape test Friday at the company's West Texas launch site, firing its pusher escape motor and launching a full-scale suborbital crew capsule from a simulated propulsion module. The test was part of Blue Origin's work supporting its funded Space Act agreement with NASA during Commercial Crew Development Round 2, or CCDEV-2. Through initiatives like CCDEV-2, NASA is fostering the development of a U.S. commercial crew space transportation capability with the goal of achieving safe, reliable, and cost-effective access to and from the International Space Station and low Earth orbit, rather than buying seats on board Russian Soyuz rockets, as we are doing presently. Gulfport, Mississippi resident Wade Hicks Jr. got an unwelcome surprise when he landed at Joint Base Pearl Harbor Hickam in Hawaii recently. He was flying on a military flight to Japan to see his wife, who is on active duty and deployed there, but was told during the layover there that he was on the FBI's no-fly list and would not be allowed to continue, nor could he get a military or commercial jet flight home. Well, the military commonly allows spouses to hitch rides on official flights when there is space available. He had apparently had no problem boarding the flight in California, but by the time he arrived in Hawaii, he was told he was on the no-fly list. That despite having recently passed an extensive background check in order to receive a permit to carry a concealed weapon. While the government will not reveal why anyone is placed on the no-fly list, Hicks said he speculates that it may be because he has publicly disagreed with the findings of the 9/11 Commission concerning those terrorist attacks. Well, Hicks got a hotel room on the base, and apparently his appearance on the no-fly list did not preclude him staying there, and he worked the phones calling politicians in Hawaii and Mississippi in an effort to get off the island. While he considered his options, he received a call that said he had been removed from the list just as mysteriously as he'd found himself placed on it. Hicks reportedly boarded another scheduled military flight, this time back to California, where he finally had his reunion with his wife. Hicks says he now plans to try to recoup his expenses for the extended stay in Hawaii from the government. Good luck with that, Mr. Hicks. Maybe next time it would just be better if you decided to see the USA in your Chevrolet. I'm Glenn Moyer. You're now cleared for departure.